Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I think if Nick wants a job, and if the Texans are willing to structure the job the way that Nick wants the job, that a standard GM job will be structured, I think it's Nick's job, yeah. Like, but this is, look, Nick's turned down opportunities in the past. He's conservative about these things. You know, certainly I think he would need the sort of contract that would assure him that he's not going to get blown out in a year or two the way Brian Gain was. But I absolutely think Nick Caceri, based on the relationships here, I absolutely think Nick Caceri would be the front runner.
Hey, man, even if you get blown out a year and a half in, you still get that five-year scratch.
I was going to say, good luck with that. I mean, anybody can get blown out any time.
You still get that five-year scratch, man.
And we should mention, Sean, since we're talking about Nick Caserio, realistically, the Patriots cannot prevent the Texans from talking to Nick Caserio. If I understand this right, in January of 2017, the Patriots' season was still in progress. Their postseason was
2018.
Still,
yeah,
2018. Yeah. Their postseason was still in progress, and that is reason alone, if I have this right, for the Patriots to deny permission. But all the Texans have to do is say to the league, say to the Patriots, we want him to be our general manager, and the Patriots can't prevent it from happening.
Yeah, Breer. We'll have Albert Breer talking about that later on in the show. But just to give the blurb. Paraphrase the blurb that speaks to what you're talking about, Rich, is Breer basically said if they put that he has final say on the 53 in his contract,
yes,
then he essentially, that's enough to say this is a step up from what he's doing in New England, where clearly Bill Belichick has the final say on everything that happens in the building over
there. Yeah, it's easily done. There's nothing preventing the Texans from hiring Caserio other than whether or not he wants the job, as Albert Breer just said.
Yeah, this is why, Rich, I feel like, going back to the open of the show, this is why I feel like This is not your normal thing where somebody gets fired and then you go on a search. A lot of these details we're talking about, is he available for an interview? What would the relationship look like between him and O'Brien? Where does Easterby fit into all of this? I feel like where normally this would be a search where you're at your own 20-yard line and you're starting the search, I feel like the Texans are on the opposing 20-yard line because these guys all talk to each other.
Yeah.
Easterby was just at a ring ceremony with Caserio a few days ago, getting their championship rings. These are all three guys that know each other and are friendly with each other. To me, if I had to guess, this is just a matter of going through the interview process, probably satisfying the Rooney rule, which they did over the weekend with a couple of interviews.
They did, yes.
And then smoothing off whatever the rough edges are on what a contract and the overall relationship would look like. Again, I don't think a sharp business person does something like this without knowing what the next step of the plan is.
Yes, keyword smart, because I don't think the Jets knew what the hell they were doing when they fired McCagnan.
They didn't, and that's why they're the Jets.
Yes.
You know? So anyways, that was Albert Breer. He was on Mad Radio this morning. Really good interview, and we'll be playing parts of that throughout the remainder of the show. In the Loop played some audio from Nick Caserio a little earlier in their show, and there was one particular piece that jumped out to me when they asked Nick Caserio about something, Rich, that I think ultimately, if there's something you want to point to with Brian Gain where a football reason, a decision-making reason why you would fire him, maybe, you know, the reason why he's fired now may just be that he's not Nick Caserio, that he's just not as good as a potential other solution out there. But if you were firing him on merit, I do think that the way he has slow-played this offseason is certainly one of those reasons. And when I heard this bit of audio from Nick Caserio, it got me very enthusiastic about the possibility of him being the next general manager of the Texans.
The most important thing for us is to try to put together the best team for that year, and there's a lot of factors that go into it. I mean, Tom's played at a high level for a long period of time now, and, you know, the expectation is that, you know, he's going to come back, he's going to play, and the most important thing for us, look, we just have to put together the best team we possibly can for that season. And there's some short-term things you have to factor in and some bigger picture things. But if you lose sight of the ultimate goal, which is we're trying to put together a real good team for this year and prepare for the 2019 season, then that could lead to some poor decision-making. So you always want to make good decisions, smart decisions for the team, for the organization. And however the players get, whoever they are and however they get here, I mean, that's ultimately our responsibility and our job to try to do that to the best of our ability.
So people are going to hear that cut, Rich, and Tom is Tom Brady, obviously.
Yeah.
And they're going to hear that cut and go, well, of course you can take that approach with Tom Brady as your quarterback. My feeling on this has always been, if you have found your quarterback, especially if you found your quarterback and he's getting paid $3 or $4 million a year, if you have found that guy, there are no long-term windows with anything in the NFL if you have your quarterback. There can't be looking at the offensive line and going, we're just going to draft guys and build, and in a couple years we'll have that done, or the secondary. There are no 2 and 3 year windows when you have your quarterback in the NFL. Everything is immediate. Everything is now. And I don't think Brian Gain took that kind of approach to this offseason. I think it's very evident by the lack of activity in upgrading this roster. This is not a roster. Maybe you can look at individual guys and go, okay, well, Bradley Roby's better than Kevin Johnson or what, yeah, little improvements. But the main thing is Deshaun Watson is still in jeopardy when he goes out there,
right,
every Sunday. That was the biggest thing they needed to do. He admitted it on the video where they drafted Titus Howard. Brian Gain says it's our priority to protect our quarterback. And I know you were somebody who said sign Trent Brown. I was somebody who said I'd be skittish about signing Trent Brown. If I had known that there would be $42 million in cap space still sitting here on June 10th, yeah, I would have said sign Trent Brown.
Well, and
spend the damn money, man.
As we've discussed, they threw a lot of money at Nate Solder last year. I don't even know if they went after Trent Brown. They did go after Roger Saffold.
No, they did. It was reported. They did. Okay. They went after Trent Brown.
They went after Roger Saffold this offseason. And look, A for effort, but if you don't get it done, it doesn't mean a thing.
That's right.
If you do not land these guys, then you might as well not have even made the effort to sign these guys. So the effort may have been there, but the final result may have been what cost Brian Gain in the end.
I think people misinterpret the NFL salary cap sometimes, Rich, for being as difficult to get out from under as, say, the NBA salary cap, where the contracts are all guaranteed way into the future. The NFL salary cap is so manipulatable with all the funny money at the end of deals,
yeah, yeah,
with the way that you can push money into future years with signing bonuses and things like that, and with the fact that, quite honestly, the cap goes up like 10 or 12% every year because the TV rights keep booming.
Yeah.
So that whole thing, Brian Gain treating cap space like it actually accrued interest or something, like it was a mutual fund, was, to me, it was, and it's probably going to become increasingly infuriating to me as the season gets closer, mm-hmm, that the Texans are still sitting here with $40 million in cap space, that they didn't do anything with this, that it's just sitting there. And Deshaun Watson is probably, I don't know if he's going to get his head handed to him like 2018.
It's unnerving.
They've
done nothing with regard to the offensive line to make you feel strongly that they're much, much better in the most critical area they needed to improve this offseason. Like I said, Howard and Sharping could turn out to be fine players long-term for this franchise. Maybe Matt Khalil reaches his potential, which he's apparently never reached. Maybe Shontrell Henderson stays healthy. Maybe a lot of stuff happens, and they are better. But there's nothing right now that makes you think they did anything dramatic to improve the worst, the quarterbacks who was protected the worst than any other quarterback in the NFL,
yep,
in 2018. And that's absolutely job one. Like I mentioned a couple of things that there's still, you know, the jury is out on a lot of Gain decisions, but the most unnerving part of what Brian Gain didn't do this offseason, well, is what he didn't do.
Yeah. I started thinking over the weekend, I'm like, man, is there anywhere personnel wise where the relationship might've fallen apart between O'Brien and Gain? Like, was there any one decision? Like, Tyrann Mathieu popped into my head because O'Brien spoke so glowingly about Tyrann Mathieu, proactively talking about what a great leader he was.
And they tried to keep him. They made an offer.
They made an offer, but ultimately Kansas City went to 14. And don't get me wrong, I'm glad they let Tyrann Mathieu go for $14 million a year. I wouldn't have paid Tyrann Mathieu either. But I started wondering, could that have been something where O'Brien looked at it and said, look, we got all this cap space. We may as well use it on something. Maybe the handling of Clowney. Maybe they had differing opinions on Clowney. Breer kind of put all that to bed. He said, no, they were in the quote-unquote alignment on both Clowney and Honey Badger.
Clowney, my understanding has been since February that he's going to play on the tag. That's just the way it is. They're not going to do a long-term deal with him. And I think they would have liked to get Badger back, but they knew he wanted to become the highest-paid safety in the league again, and he accomplished that. And good for him, but they weren't going there. So bringing in Gibson, I think that they all felt like that was, you know, a reasonable way to bring to replace him at about half the price.
And Breer went on to say they were in line on Titus Howard. Like, these weren't, there wasn't a decision nor a spate of decisions relative to guys that are actually on this team or free agents they let go that soured the relationship between O'Brien and Gain. They were actually in agreement on a lot of the decisions that were made.
Well, you and I are on different positions when it comes to Matthew. I thought he would have been well worth spending the money on and retaining. I don't think Gibson's going to come close to what Matthew did for this team, but we'll see. But that doesn't surprise me what Albert Breer said, because there really is, I think you have to really reach to speculate about something that could have defined some sort of breaking point between O'Brien and Gain.
Yeah, that's why I'm bringing up the big ones. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, sure.
You know, Clowney would be the marquee one. Like, honestly, Rich, the optics of the Texans coming to a deal with Clowney. Let's say they hire a general manager, and then a week later they get a Clowney extension done. I mean, imagine what we're going to be talking about on this show if that happens. About the optics of that will make it look like that was something that clearly O'Brien and Gain disagreed on, because within 2 weeks that got done. I don't expect that to happen. John McClain poured cold water on that on Friday when we brought up Clowney.
Right.
What do you think about the timing of this whole thing? I think there's a lot of people going, wow, why would you let Gain go through a draft and free agency and then fire the guy?
It's the exact same thing we were talking about with the Jets. Why would you have a guy make all these big, big decisions, run literally your entire offseason, and everybody knew this was a very important offseason for the Texans, because even though they won 9 in a row, went 11-5 and won the division, the flop in the playoff game exposed what needs to improve with this franchise. And obviously the battering that Watson took the entire season exposed a huge area of need. And you let him run the entire offseason and then decided, I really would love to get inside the mind of Cal McNair and know exactly why Friday was determined to be the best day to make this move.
Yeah, I think...
because I can't figure it out.
Well, my counter to that would be, look, if you... and this, again, leads me, Rich, to believe that they've got the solution in place to replace Gain, because... If the solution is out there, then there's no bad time to fire the guy, right? If you feel like something's better out there, the time to fire him is now and go get the better solution in place.
And don't get me wrong, Sean, if John Lopez hit the nail on the head and Easterby's power is growing within the organization and he's going to have a big hand in bringing in Nick Caserio, and Caserio will be named GM, I like that direction. I'm absolutely... excited about that possibility. I mean, Caserio is a Patriot lifer who's been there since they started winning Super Bowls in 2002, who's done pretty much everything on the offensive side of the football for Bill Belichick, including, I don't know if it was a full season, but spending time up in the press box, on the headset, involved in the Ernie Adams, Bill Belichick exchanges. That to me is like the secret sauce or a big portion of the secret sauce. And Jack Easterby is a guy who nobody has ever said word one negative about this guy. What I read about him was that he initially came to the Patriots around the time that Aaron Hernandez was murdering a couple of people and helped them sort of get through that situation, how the organization dealt with that. He had a lot to do with that. Yeah. That speaks well of him as well.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.